How's it going, Redskins fans?
What's up?
Another week.
First preseason game in. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
And this is
Let's Talk Redskins. All right. Guys, I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was an interesting week. Highs and lows.
Yeah.
And we're going to get right to it. Let's start with just going over some breaking news real quick.
So, so we always going to start off with our shout-outs, you know what I'm saying? So, go ahead and go follow us on Facebook at Let's Talk Redskins. Go follow us on Instagram at Let's Talk Skins.
Yeah, we're trying to build those two up.
Right.
You know,
and then if you're not watching on Twitter, follow us on Twitter at Let's Talk Skins.
Yeah.
So everyone go check out our clothing shop. It's in our little bio.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we're trying to get that clothing brand started. So if you guys want to go ahead and buy some t-shirts and stuff like that, that would be great for us.
Yeah.
Try to get our brand out there.
Yeah, just, you know, it's fun stuff. You know, everybody's got their jerseys. Everybody got their regular t-shirts and hats. But we would like to do some witty, more fun type of clothing that real Redskins fans would appreciate.
Yeah.
So that's why we made it, and that's why we'll continue to have it available for you guys.
Right. Shout out to Full Press Coverage, to our partnership. I appreciate you guys. We actually have them on the phone right now.
Yeah, we're on their show
on
live
the radio
now. Yeah, and this is our first time actually getting it running and going, and we're excited to be a part.
Absolutely.
Excited to be partnered with them, and they've been nothing but supportive.
So if you guys want to call into that radio show, go to 347-850-1120.
And we'll bring it up again because we're going to try to have a little question and answer session towards the end after we go over everything, because obviously there's been so much going on. We don't want to miss out.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to we'll share the number again. We're going to actually have it so that maybe you guys can call in and maybe take one or two callers and be able to talk about, you know, the hot topics and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Okay, go ahead. Shout out to Skin Follow Train for giving us the wristband.
Still wear it.
Shout out to Redskins Twitch Team for the banner right behind us.
It's still hot and it's still
So the biggest news that I'm going to go over that's not injury signing or wave related is we contacted DRC last week, which kind of ties into the Orlando Scandrick waving.
Yeah, if you don't know who DRC is, DRC is Dominique Rogers-Cromartie.
Right.
And he's one of the corners, one of the pro corners. We contacted him.
Right.
And,
yeah, he played for the Giants last year.
Yeah.
So that's honestly, in my opinion, that's just kind of dotting our I's, crossing our T's.
Yeah.
It's just to maybe bring in some veteran leadership. There was a speculation going around. The biggest thing about Orlando is that he did not have good relationships with the coaching staff and stuff like that. But we'll get more into that.
Yeah, and we'll see how that ends up changing. I think they're going to wait around and see how people like Danny Johnson, Tejada, and Alexander, and people like that continue to pan out before they make that decision.
Right.
Because as even Jay said in the interview today, he's really happy with how the young rookies are coming along. And we're happy to see it. And big scheme is, the biggest thing for NFL is what can you get for your money? You're paying the rookie men, you know, not very much, especially most of them are undrafted. So, yeah, that's what they're definitely looking to do and see. So that's the big news in regards to, you know, the immediate stuff. Now we're going to kind of get into the injuries. And we said we were going to go over that every week.
Yeah.
Kind of take note on how that's going as the year goes on. I know we had some upsetting injury. I'll let GM Steve inform us all what we pretty much already know, but we'll go over it.
Real quick, just a little breaking news. Two things. Guys, we're going to be at the game.
On Thursday.
At the end of this show, whoever made their own post, which we have, six people?
Yeah, six people.
We have six people that did it. I don't know why you guys didn't do it. We were giving away
free tickets
to the game.
On Thursday.
And so we're going to pick one of the names out of the hat and to see that they have right there.
Right,
it's all fair. And, you know,
and
the winner will get two free tickets. And then we'll message them, or you guys can message us if you win. And then we'll tell you how we're going to do that.
Yeah. And then we'll meet up. And,
right.
You know,
yeah. We can meet up, tailgate, take pictures,
that.
You know, everything like that.
For sure.
Absolutely. Hey, my man, Chris Bryant. Hey, real quick. Shout out to Chris Bryant for blessing us with four tickets.
Yeah. My birthday's on it. Sunday, and I think it all worked in the favor.
Absolutely.
So we definitely appreciate it. And that made it able for us to be able to let's talk Redskins watchers to be able to get the other two
right
on. So it worked out for everybody.
Yeah. So also injuries. So we got Tavarius Barnes. He was a practice squad player. He got waived once he got injured. Alex McAllister, another practice squad. Hey, Mom. He got waived. Robert Davis. This is what I'm reading. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I could have just got the wrong information. It happens. So we'll get into that. Robert Davis, apparently he broke his knee and he tore his MCL. It was from pretty bad damage.
That was a pretty gruesome injury.
He went up for the ball and he came down wrong.
It's unfortunate because he was really.
It wasn't even during a game. It was just during drills. It was a 1-on-1 drill and he just came down wrong. That's all it was.
Yeah, he was, and it was. It's unfortunate.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It was a part of the game.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because he was really panning out to be a good player, but it just ended up getting hurt. He's a younger guy, so hopefully he's able to something he comes back. But they're saying like 9 to 12 months for that.
They're saying 9 to 12.
Yeah, so prayers up for him. I'm really sorry.
But usually with athletes, what I've seen actually, AKA AP, you come back a lot faster because they're built for this.
Right.
It's not like
right.
a normal person who has to like rehab. I mean, they have to rehab and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But they come back faster because their bodies are used to this.
Right. And they're rehabbing hard.
Right.
Hardcore.
And they have better quality stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Also, and then the big one, guys, I know. Darius Geis.
Darius
towards Geis. ACL.
Yeah. That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
It was very unfortunate. But let's just start by saying the season's not over.
The season hasn't even started.
It hasn't even started. I know people were – Twitter went crazy.
Yeah.
Facebook, everybody went crazy in regards to it, but – we're both going to give our little small opinions about it. I'll let Steve go first.
At the end of the day, this is what I believe. And this is just my opinion. A lot of people don't agree with me, and that's cool. But, you know, that's cool. I believe at the end of the day, I think that he brought our offense to another level. Do I think that we have two viable starting backs on the team at the minimum? Yes. We got Samaje Perine and Rob Kelly, and we have Chris Thompson. Don't forget my man Martez Carter. We got Capri Bibbs and we got Brian Marshall. Okay, so we'll go over them. But at the end of the day, we have these guys that can step up and take that role now that we have a healthy line. Always remember that. Perine and Kelly didn't have that great of a year because of our line.
Right.
Even with a banged up line, Perine had over 600 yards.
In his rookie year.
So granted, and don't say he has fumbling issues if he had two fumbles. Yes, he kind of has an issue with ball security. Fumbling issues? Not really. I'm going to be honest with you.
Not yet. You
right.
can't call it that yet.
Right. So I think that at the end of the day, that he would have brought our offense to a whole nother level that we've never seen before. Just that 1-1 where he got hurt, that showed me enough. Mm. Just his vision, his playmaking ability, his run after contact, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just that one run. Even the other runs that he had, It was unbelievable. It was great. So at the end of the day, I think that it doesn't hurt us as much as people really do think it is, because at the end of the day, offense wins games, defense wins championships, and everyone on our defense is still healthy right now. So at the end of the day, I think that in my opinion, it brings us from what I thought 11-5, 10-6 to maybe 8-8, 9-5, 9-6, wait, 9-7. I'm sorry. And so I think that might have. What's going on, brother? I think that at the end of the day, I think it just brings it down just a little bit. But in reality, that it might not even be the case.
You know, and that's where I'm going to chime in.
Absolutely.
And say, I'm going to say that it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's clearly an unfortunate situation that Darius Geis got hurt. There's a lot of hype around him. There's a lot going on. But football is a team game.
Yeah.
Two things I'm going to say. Jay Gruden, if you haven't noticed, our roster and all positions are loaded. They're stacked with a lot of players that can produce. And Alex Smith even said in an interview a couple of days before, if this had to happen to any room, he felt like the running back room was the room it would be okay with if
Agreed.
It did happen. Because
Agreed.
We're deep there.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that are, you know, maybe don't have the biggest names, but consistency as a whole, we are very consistent. Let's not forget, you guys, Carson Wentz went down with an ACL injury, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook went down. Same running back, first round draft pick and all that went down, and they went to the NFC Championship.
Yep.
So I understand that was our big hope, you know, and that was our big love and hope. We was hoping to get him, but he's not going to be gone. We're going to have him for the next 4 or 5 years. And teams are able – football is the ultimate team sport. You know, we are so deep at running back. I really believe that we will be okay.
Yeah.
So everyone, like, as best as you can, just, like, you know, we will be okay. It's really unfortunate.
It is
seriously unfortunate because we were all looking forward to him. We like it. Everybody in the whole camp, everybody on the team likes his vibe, like how he gives the energy, all that.
Yeah.
But he's going to come back stronger. He's going to come back more determined. And we will still win now.
Absolutely.
Like that person
we're still in
said.
The win now. That's a fact.
Yeah, we will still win.
That is a 100% fact.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be straight, man. So
people overreact and panic too fast. I think RBs will be fine. And we talked to Capri Bibbs going back to when we were talking to all the guys. At the end of the day, Capri Bibbs, this is the best running back room in the NFL. And I agree with that.
Seriously, I completely agree.
So, I mean, I think at the end, and we agree, Sean, my man. Well, shout out to my man, Sean. It's on Facebook. We got some viewers on Facebook. Hey, look, we're growing. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Oh, shoot, okay. We get some fans. Okay. But I think that
we'll be fine.
Next man up. Flat out. And that's what Jay said, next man up. Robert Davis, as sad as it is, because he was showing some promise during the Patriots game, remember that, he had at least like 5 or 6 catches.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it's next man up.
Man.
Next man up.
And we got
Cam
Sims.
Look what happened to that. Cam Sims had a 57-yard catch.
Great.
Boy.
Which we will surely get into when we dissect
great
the game.
Okay, so now injury's gone. Guys, injury's done. We're going to pass that. Darius Geis is injured. We're done.
Yeah.
Move past that.
Right.
It's done.
Next man up.
Next man up.
All right.
Okay, so
signings.
You want to go ahead and do that?
Sure, yeah. These are unfortunately, I'm not aware of any of these people.
No.
And it's interesting that how they're going about signing things, and this has been my theory about how Jay has been this whole year, is that he feels that he doesn't need to bring any more starters.
Right.
He wants to bring people that are kind of at the bottom and work their way up. So you got D-line Dante Sawyer, linebacker Casanova McKenzie, tight end J.P. Holtz, linebacker Jeff Knox, D-line Jalen Wilkerson, and wide receiver Dan Williams.
All those guys are literally just fill-ins from people that got
they're
hurt.
Practice. They're probably starting out on the scout team,
yeah,
which is the practice team. You know, they're not.
But you never know. You might have a Danny Johnson. You might have a Danny Johnson come out.
Yeah, and that's,
so you never
and
know.
That's how it works. But at the end of the day, you know.
They signed him for the purpose of
bodies. You need bodies. You
got
90-man roster. It's a new theory that they, you can have 90, and they take advantage of having 90 on the team. Let me get into waves.
Right, you got Tavarius Barnes. Obviously, he got injured in waves. Alex McAllister waves. One person that I was really upset about that got waves, and that wasn't including today. We will get into that. Yeah, is Elijah Wellman.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, bro, Elijah Wellman was a stud.
He was balling.
In my opinion, now granted, we don't keep running backs, but I mean, fullbacks. I'm sorry, we don't keep fullbacks, but at the end of the day, he was making holes for Geis. He was making holes for Samaje. He was making holes for Kelly, bro.
He was
making holes.
And, you know, and the fullback is a part of the game from a coach perspective that has become lower appreciated. You really got to stand out and be, like, somebody super great to be a fullback and make it on a team. Normally they carry, like, four. The whole league maybe carries four fullbacks.
Right.
And we kind of knew, unfortunately, and he even kind of knew when we met him that his – likeliness to make the team was pretty slim. But from what we saw in that first quarter, he was looking really well. And I kind of felt like I didn't understand it because I felt like when Geis went down, that opened up a spot at the running back. But I guess, you know, we're not in the the offices and stuff.
Yeah.
They make the decisions. Hopefully we just got to hope that they made a right one. But we are definitely upset about Elijah as well, man.
Appreciate it, Corey.
Elijah, man, if it works out, I hope it works out for you. I definitely like them as a person.
Yeah.
I like them as a fullback.
That spot is an extra DB. That's kind of agreed. But that DB spot going into that is, at the end of the day, that DB spot could be taken by Orlando Scandrick being released today. Breaking news.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think that I think that they were saying that in the locker room, a lot of people didn't like him. He didn't get along with people, and he didn't like. He wasn't really liked by the coaches. Apparently, he was really opinionated, and they don't.
And that's what veterans kind of are, right, though, right?
I mean,
he's been in
the league. At the end of the day, Breland was opinionated, and he got cut. Because if sometimes if you're too opinionated, the coaches know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? They're hired for a reason. You're not going to tell me what to do as a coach.
Right, flat out.
I mean, I'm going to listen to you as a player because you're on the field. You're in the trenches. But a coach is paid, and he's there for a reason.
Yeah, of course. And I think another thing is a saying of old is you can't make the club in the tub. So he unfortunately was injured a little bit more than he should have been. He had an injury history last year. He was injured last year.
And
when we went there, he didn't practice because of injury. And I think what ends up happening is, okay, well, you're hurt a lot. He costs more than a rookie, and our rookies are balling. And the reason our rookies are balling is because our D-line is doing so well. So they're figuring, like, okay, well, why keep him?
Yeah.
You know, and Jay said in the interview, he said, you know, they wanted to respect him and give him time to make another team.
Yeah.
So he'll be fine.
I actually told Chris this in the beginning, right when we signed him. There was a clause, and I knew that we were going to use that clause because I think at the end of the day, and we were actually talking about this, excuse me, on his way over here, is that at the end of the day, we needed him for two reasons. Two reasons. We wanted to know how the Cowboys work, flat out.
Right.
And a lot of teams do that. Why do you think the Eagles picked up Nick Sutfeld? I'm just being honest, because they knew that the Redskins were getting something. And at the end of the day, we wanted that kind of veteran preference. And in case people got hurt, they needed that backup.
Right.
And our Danny Johnson, Adonis Alexander, and Greg Stroman are all showing out.
Right.
Adonis, not so much as the other two, but they want to go young now. They're tired of going veteran, which is what the Redskins have been doing for years.
Right.
They try to get these veterans in here, and they're tired of doing that.
Right.
And they want to build up.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing now. And I'm all for it.
Me too.
If Danny Johnson's making plays, let him keep making plays. If Greg Sherman's making plays and he's versatile, going back to what I said last week, if you're versatile, I believe that you're going to make the team flat out.
Right. I mean, I think it just ended up working out. Probably for the best that he didn't make the team.
Yeah.
That's just showing, because, I mean, at the end of the day, he is still a Cowboy.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Cowboy for 10 years, and I kind of find it hard to just switch that off, being a major rival to a team for 10 years and then just say, oh, I'm going to jump ship. So I think it worked out for the best. Hope, you know, he has a good rest of his career or whatever.
Yeah. I think there's no bad blood. I just think that it just wasn't made. It wasn't made to be. I mean, that's really all it was.
Yeah, it is. The Danny Johnson train is definitely picking up.
No, he definitely showed out for that Patriots team, flat out. That was the biggest thing that jumped off the page.
Yeah, for sure. So now we're going to kind of get
gonna
in.
We're going to go over the Patriots game. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and just see. And kind of, we both have our own opinions about it. And we can kind of share about it. I'll go ahead first and say, the score of preseason games can be very deceiving. I actually had it on my phone. I watched the game twice because, I actually wasn't able to watch it live, but I watched it twice. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me was our first half stats, first quarter stats.
I wrote that down too.
you talking about first quarter. First off, the Patriots had starters in on defense.
They did.
They had Stephon Gilmore on defense. I think they had a safety, Patrick Chung, they might have played. I'm not totally sure.
You ain't handling, you're failing.
Exactly. They had starters in on defense legitimately, and we didn't have a single starter in on offense, none, zero. And first quarter stats, 20, and you can give them the first quarter stats that we had here.
First quarter.
It was a beat down. At the end of the day, the Patriots is a top five organization.
Yeah.
They're a top class organization, probably the number one organization in regards to just professionalism.
Yeah,
In the league.
Right,
and
agreed.
First quarter, we made them look like a JV team, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, we 26 rushing yards, 112 passing yards. 6.3 per play yards. And then 7 first down to their zero.
0 first down.
They had 4 rushing yards, 3 passing yards. They averaged 1 yard per play. Minutes of time of possession, we had 11:34. They had 3 minutes and 26.
I mean, and you, if you really watch it, man, it's night and day. I mean, we look so crisp.
Yeah.
We look so in regards to when we were running the ball, the
yep.
play calling. Everyone's
yep.
not going to break 400 yards.
Yeah, it's not.
Everybody's not going to catch the ball. But we really methodically went down the field on at least 30% of the first team of the New England Patriots.
That went to the Super Bowl.
That went to the Super Bowl. And, I really don't want people to really be upset about the fact that we lost. I mean, they didn't get the first down until the second quarter. You feel me? Like, it was crazy stuff. So all I'm saying is my opinion is that we had a very strong first half. And things kind of went down here second half. We had, we had no, real, players in the third and fourth quarter, and they came back
yeah.
and won. Okay, but
no, we beat them 17-0, flat out.
Yeah,
flat
and
out.
And so I'm just saying, like, don't worry about the score. I think at the end of the day, we really put on a stop. And I think with preseason games, you really kind of want to look more at what your starters and your immediate backups are doing to produce, because 9 times out of 10, third and fourth quarter players aren't going to play. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to get any time in real life. Maybe one or two of them might make the team, but most of those guys are just kind of picking up garbage time. So the fact that they came back and won, okay, yeah, we lost. But I feel like as a team, we performed, and the people that you want to perform well performed
yep.
well.
Yep.
So that's what I feel about
at
it.
At the end of the day, knock on wood, if Alex Smith goes down, I'm cool with Colt.
Yeah. That's where I – seriously, he really balled. He really balled. So, what do you think about? What did you see?
I wrote, like, a whole bunch of stuff down, but I think the biggest thing that jumped out to me, Kevin Hogan is the worst. No, yeah, I wouldn't say the worst, but he looked – so I'm going to say this. He did look bad, but let's throw in some stats, because everything has stats behind it. You can't just say, oh, this person's trash, this person's trash, this person's great. Colt was really good because he was going up against about 60% of their starting defense.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out.
It was.
Hogan was behind our third string line.
It was. And it was apparent.
I'm not trying to make excuses for him, because he did have some hesitation moments. He did have some really bad throws. Got it. He made some bad plays. But you got to give him the benefit of the doubt also. If you put him behind a good line, then at the end of the day, he's going to make more plays. In my opinion, I don't think Hogan is bad. I think if we put him on the practice squad, the only problem with that is I think someone will pick him up,
yeah.
In my opinion. I don't know. But I hope that we can keep him so that when Colt decides to hang up his shoelaces or Alex does, then I think that he can be a good prospect or a project quarterback. I think he has good potential and he has good fundamentals at the end of the day.
Yeah, between Smith and McCoy is about a mile.
Yeah.
And the gap in between McCoy and Hogan is 5 miles.
Dang.
Somebody said.
I think the biggest thing that kind of pointed out to me.
Yes, Tim Settle. Talk about your boy.
Were actually going to have MVP. He's going to have one. I'm going to have one. So I'll get back to that. Hold on. Let me just get to this real quick. I'll break down Tim Settle. Tim Settle had a phenomenal game.
He really did.
Phenomenal. Danny Johnson was right behind Tim. Danny Johnson had a phenomenal game. He didn't make any picks, but he made plays. He's bringing up the ball. He was diving. He was playing the ball, and that's what you want your corners to do. If you can't play the ball, you got to make tackles flat out.
And that goes back to that D line, though, man.
Right? No. Matt Ioannidis was another one before he got injured.
Oh, my
goodness. He literally put their lineman right in his face.
You can't keep
trying to do that. He just bull rushed him.
You can't keep trying to do that floss dance. He probably
I'm kidding.
If he's sacked, do any dance you want. I don't care what dance.
Yeah,
no.
No, but that dude, he literally just manhandled him.
Yeah, but why do you think they, from a GM, why would they play him into the third quarter?
So
like
what
that?
I was told, what I saw from Jay Gruden's press conference was that, what's going on? Detroit in the house. All right, Motown.
Okay.
What I saw by Jay is that, we're not forgetting Stroman, brother.
Stroman.
Don't worry.
We get that.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think that Jay said that they had too many people hurt, and they just kind of wanted to see how he was, because remember, he got injured last year, right?
Right, right.
And so they kind of wanted to see how he was doing. He actually said that it was his fault for doing it. He kind of looked back and said, crap, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Right, right.
But he just said there was too many small injuries, and he was fully healthy at the time. And so I think that it was just a bad coach. I mean, we all
made
it.
Admitted to it, right?
He did. At the end of the day, he was a bad decision. But I think that Matt Ioannidis looks really good.
Yeah, he did.
Really good.
He did. And it's unfortunate that he's got a lower body injury. You'll hear me say that all year.
Yeah.
He's
back in practice today, though.
You don't want anyone to go have any lower body injuries, because it's mentally hard to get back to running and not worrying about it nagging. But, you know, they're trained professionals, trainers. We're hoping that they'll get him healthy for week one. Hopefully we won't see him again until week one.
Yep.
So,
what's his name? Parnell McPhee didn't play on the second team. The two people that were on the second team were Pete Robertson on the outside and Ryan
Anderson. And Ryan Anderson. He did look good, dude.
Yeah, you know, he did against the run.
Yeah.
He needs to work on it. But at the end of the day, I think that, to my assumption, whoever didn't have pads on had a solidified spot, in my opinion. Did that – it looked like to you?
Yeah, that's definitely what it looks like.
Some questions some questions that we kind of had were, why did Brian Quick not play? Does that mean that his position is solidified? Why did Parnell McPhee not play? He was in the second team. Is he having an injury that we don't know about?
Right.
This is just questions that – people, in my opinion, aren't asking. I haven't heard any of these questions. And so I kind of see – literally, I was at the game, and my wife told me, why don't you just take voice recordings instead of typing all your notes out?
Mm-hmm.
Greatest idea ever. Mm-hmm. What I did is I just started – everything that I saw, I literally wrote down afterwards. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I voice recorded it. And just certain things that I want to take a mental note of and questions that I kind of had.
Right. Another thing I was happy to see was – Greg Stroman.
Absolutely.
In punt return, because if I ever see Jamison Crowder in punt return again, I might. Really,
understand, bro. Understand that he was a starter and we didn't play our starter.
I understand that.
So it's a possibility, hopefully not.
But starters aren't supposed to be on any special teams, to my understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the resume that Jamison put together last year at punt return was so tragic that he just needs to not be overwhelmed with anything other than playing slot. He's a solid slot.
Yeah.
Solid slot.
Carter.
We can't preach enough about
Martez Carter. And going back to that real quick, just a side note, Bleacher Report said that they would name the top
undrafted
free agent for every team, and Martez Carter was number one on all.
Yeah.
Not Cam Sims,
not
Sidney Cobb, not Danny Johnson, Martez Carter. They said, with Geist being injured, he has a legit chance of making this roster. In my opinion, I think he might make it over Capri Bibbs for injury reasons. And I believe that Greg Stroman is – I think going back to versatile and Greg Stroman, if you're more – the more and more versatile you are, the more chances you have to make the team.
Of course.
That's why I believe that Greg Stroman was going to make the team before he had this game, because everyone was saying that he was having a, kind of a bad camp and he was getting burnt a lot. But I believe if you can make the kick return and the punt return team, you're more viable than a person who can just play corner.
Right, and they're saying that he's really growing at that corner, too.
No, he is.
They're saying that he's growing at that corner, too. And it looked apparent in the game.
Carter didn't play, but trust me, they said he's going to get reps this next game.
He's got to play eventually. I think what happened was, I think they're really trying to work out this top of the lineup in regards to Rob. You saw Rob, Kerr. You saw all the running backs get burned. So
Except for Carter.
But what does that show? That shows that they don't know what the plan is. What the plan is going to be with the top of the running backs, right? So they're trying to – I feel like they're trying to weed that out right now.
Martez Carter, bro. Seriously.
Yeah, man, he gave us our first interview, and he's a good, humble dude.
He is.
And if you watch his tape,
even though he's that grambling, Danny Johnson was at Southern. That's another HBCU, correct?
Right, right.
So at the end of the day,
it doesn't matter where you come from, man.
No one even heard of Danny Johnson until he started balling out.
Right.
Once every chance they've given Martez, he's actually shined. You just haven't really heard of it. And he's actually getting more and more, like, publicity because people are starting to notice him.
Right. So I'd say give us at least to the fourth preseason game. I think it works in the favor of Martez and people like Martez that now, back in the day, they used to cut from 90 to 73 and then from 73 to 53.
But now it's, just from 90,
but now it's 90 to 53. So he's got a long time.
Yep.
Got to rest of them until September 1st to figure out what they're going to do.
And I think he's more, going back to what I was saying, he's more versatile. If you're more versatile, he plays for the Redskins. So, yeah absolutely. Straight up. And he is so great at kick return and punt return, bro. I'm telling you, in his 4 years at Grambling, bro, I think he returned like three or four. I gotta double check on those stats, but around three or four returns, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
All solid catches, which is what we need. He made a good decision with a punt return, I
yep.
believe, and a fair catch. So he looks like a solid guy. Also, somebody wanted to shout out, did a good job. Mo Harris, man.
Oh,
he
man.
Went with the first team. If you watch that first drive, he literally
Maybe.
Did two beautiful comeback routes,
oh,
caught the ball with his hands,
yes.
and, you know, slided, you know, got out of bounds. He looks like a solid, solid receiver. He keeps beating people in practice. He was beating the mess out of the corners for the Jets. You know,
Jameson Crowder was making them look stupid.
Every
one of our people made them look
and
stupid.
And speaking on the Jets thing, that DJ Swearinger thing, oh my god.
Oh my god.
I laughed so
hey,
hard.
Hey, let's all agree and give a big hell
yeah,
yeah that he's a punk, bro.
He's sweet. I don't know, and all
he's
due respect,
punk.
All due respect, but I mean,
no,
what I like to see is the fact that as a team, man, the leaders are leading.
Yeah.
And they're strong and they're fit. Man, they're
yeah.
not scared. Like, we're not scared.
No,
that's the first thing to football is the not being scared. You know what I'm saying? And it was just – it was
yeah.
beautiful to watch.
And by the way, if you go back and watch the game where he caught the touchdown, his full place, it was beautiful.
Yeah, well,
it was so beautiful, they had to go back and check.
Check it again. Exactly. So,
and
more
so,
degree, man.
No, and going back to that, Terrell Pryor, bro, oh, my Lord. Because why I'm not liking him right now is because he told Jay Gruden before the show,
none of your people can check me. What was he talking about?
And then it gets dogged.
And I know y'all seen DJ Serenity be like, oh, you only going to get safeties. Like, yeah,
he's like, you're not worthy enough to go against
exactly.
our corner.
Exactly. And we proved it to him. You just like – you. I like to see as a former football player, you like to see that type of
yeah.
edge from your Redskins.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
you can't remember the last time you seen someone – have an edge like that. I
yeah.
can't, you know, since the Clinton Portis days.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it was great to see. But let's kind of go back into the Patriots. Another person we wanted to go over was Cam Sims, right?
Yeah, that, and I was going to say going off that too, my man, what's his name? Sean Dion Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
SBH. He
oh, yeah.
had some burn, and he looked good against
oh,
the run.
Yeah. He did.
He got a little tweaker. Don't worry. But SBH was looking pretty good. He's behind a deep inside linebacker core. And he might be on the practice squad until he's fully healthy. But
and I don't think that's the worst thing for him. We're just so deep there, bro. I mean, you got who? Zach and Mason, who are best buddies, man.
Yeah.
They're like having a bromance.
That's like,
man.
Dude.
It's awesome.
Two peas in a pod.
Right. Then you got Zach and you got Martell.
Yep.
And then
you got Zach Vigil.
Zach Vigil
and Martell. That's literally, in my opinion, going back to what we've been preaching, is you want people behind your starters that look
exactly
like your starters. Zach Vigil is kind of like Zach Vigil kind of looks like Zach Brown, and then Martell Spade kind of looks like Mason Faulkner. It's that speed and that thud. And so they complement each other so well.
And that's also what they're saying that they're trying to do with the quarterbacks. You know, you want,
yes.
you know, Alex looks like Colt, looks like Kevin, you know what I'm saying? So you don't have
yes.
to change that what you're doing too much.
Shake and bake, flat out.
Yeah,
so he was looking at, and then going back to Cam Sims, that boy, that 57-yarder, what y'all are not understanding is just Chris kind of broke down to me. And he, you know, he actually gives me a little bit of props because the stuff that I kind of break down to him, I'm learning more and more from his side as much as I'm teaching him from the GM side.
Oh,
so we're bouncing off each other.
Right. Oh,
and so that ball placement is what y'all not understanding from just a regular person's perspective of just watching football. That ball placement by Colt McCoy. Everyone's like, oh, Colt McCoy doesn't have a lot of arm strength. You got to know your strengths and your weaknesses. he literally put that
right
in there.
On the money. Let me explain to you why. I was on the phone with Steve when I re-recorded the game and watched it, and I screamed. I said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, it looked great that he threw a big pass, but you got to understand from a football perspective, that was a cover two. And what happens with a cover two is you got two safeties, and you got two corners, right? So this is the corner right here, right? And this is safety, and this is Cam Sims.
Okay.
So the safety has got this area right here. And then the corner's got this area right here. So the hole in the zone is right there. So he ran this fade and Colt threw it
right
there.
So the corner right
literally.
There.
And the corner played back
and he
a little bit and it went
right
over. And then as soon as Cam Sims caught it,
he made a play.
Came because that's how quick of a throw
I know,
was,
dude. I
was
saying
was.
The same thing. If he would have scored on that play, bro, that
yeah.
might have solidified
his
spot. His spot. Seriously.
But Cam, what Coach did say today, he said, you know, if he has he's having a great chance to
yeah.
make the team.
Yeah.
They're saying, look, if he is able
they call
to,
him Silky Cam.
Oh, really?
Because he cool. just he for his size, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4". The dude is fast,
he's
and his and his route running is smooth, bro.
Beating corners like
yeah. Great.
So they're saying, Jay said, if he, you know, if you, I always watch, if you wonder why I'm getting, if you get the Redskins app, they have like all the interviews, and I just sit and watch them because you want to
yeah.
hear and see what people are,
yeah.
you know, how the coach, the head coach is feeling. He said, if Cam Sims has another couple good days, another good game, he's really making a chance to make the team. And I truly feel like if he doesn't make the team, he's going to make somebody else's team.
So I'm going to be honest with you. So, someone asked a wide receiver prediction, and we're going to go back to that in the question and answer part. But I'm going to give you our wide receiver prediction because I think that Robert Davis being hurt puts Cam Sims in that spot, to be
right.
honest.
So let's.
And another big person, real quick, before we go over our MVP. And I think that Byron Marshall had an incredible game.
He did.
He just looked good. He looked not just like a third down back, he looked like an overall back. He was running the rock. He was catching the ball at the backfield and made that play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To me, what I look for is run after catch and what you're making and run after and how much yards you're getting after contact.
Right.
So if you're getting contact and you're still up, that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
If you're making the play with Cam, he could have went down right there. Instead, he hit a back step. The safety went flying, and he kept running.
And then he made it somebody else. Move.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
he those moves after is what I think coaches look for.
Yeah.
Look like CT before his career took off. No, he's not as fast as CT, but no, I 100% agree.
They're saying Byron Marshall is fast, so
no,
real.
No, he is. And they said before he was actually looking nice at the end of the season, and I think that's what's solidifying his spot.
Right.
Unfortunately, I think that he's going to beat out Capri Bibbs, in my opinion.
And you could be really honest.
Capri Bibbs, don't get me wrong. I think if we drop him, someone else is going to pick him up. He's a good running back.
And he's a good dude, too.
Yeah, no,
well,
he
I
is.
Don't know.
He is.
I don't know.
But I think that because – so I think – tell me if I'm wrong. In the game of football, if you're hurt, it's next man up, and then if he takes your spot, bro, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And so I think that, and I think that's what it is. I think that Byron just had that unfortunate. Capri had that unfortunate injury in the beginning. He got some burn at the end of the game, but I was heard that he was kind of nursing an injury that game, is what I'm hearing. And so Byron got that go ahead to be that.
Right
when Darius went down, he was
and
full.
He took advantage of it. Took
yeah.
advantage of it. Looked great.
So
now we're gonna work on trying to be able to do this every week. We'll both have our little. Player of the game.
Right.
You know, we have similar but different opinions. And,
right.
you know, we'd like to kind of go over who we both thought
yeah, real quick.
Showed out. Go ahead.
Sorry, the biggest downfall that I saw is that we still suck on third down. We went 3-for-8 in the first half. And that to me is a problem. Even though it's a preseason game, Jay Gruden, his play calling in general looked better.
It looks a lot better.
Right.
And mind you, we're talking about preseason.
Right.
So they're not doing any plays. They're doing very basic
right.
stuff.
And but it still looks good.
It looks great. And
that play action boot is gonna kill people, bro.
And that's what Alex does.
And that's what Jay loves.
That's what he's built off.
But going 3-for-8, is that do you think on the field standpoint, do you think that's an issue?
In the first half. Yeah.
I think we had 3-for-9 total.
Yes, but then let's say it like this. How many points did the Patriots have?
Flat out.
How many first downs did the Patriots have?
You're right.
So
you're
if your defense got your back, okay, and everything's not going to be perfect. This is the first game of the season.
Right.
But, yeah, we want that to come. We want that percentage to come up, right? We want it to become better than what it was last year. We don't want to continue to be known for 3rd-and-1s, 3rd-and-2s not happening.
Right.
That made me so annoyed.
Yes.
And I'm sure it made everyone
and
so annoyed.
And we have too many weapons.
To make that not happen. And to be honest, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, that's when the offensive line's got to take it personal.
Yeah.
And
Alex can run. I'm just saying.
He can. And that's going to change the game.
Yeah, no, it
so,
is.
We'll keep monitoring that. We'll
MVPs. We kind of agreed on both of ours in reality, but we just kind of had to pick and choose. And I say Tim Settle. The guy had 5 combined tackles, 3 assisted and 2 solo. Third and fourth quarter, he went off. The first quarter I kind of saw, I have to admit it in my notes, he was kind of getting pushed around a little bit. But I see what Tim does is he has to get his motor running.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I think that Tim, he has to get kind of warmed up. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And so Tim kind of was getting pushed around a little bit. But then maybe he went off. Now, I hate to take away from him, but maybe he went off because he was going against the 3rd and 4 strings.
Yeah, but he's still a rookie first
yeah,
big
right,
round.
Right.
You know
and
I mean?
So at the end of the day, he was in every play.
He was.
And what I saw, and Chris, tell me if I'm wrong, I called it out. When we drafted, even before we drafted him, I said, look out for Tim Settle. And we drafted him.
Right.
I was so big on him because not only is this guy like 300 pounds, maybe like at the minimum 290.
No, they had him at 3.
Okay. So he's moving so quick. I have never seen a guy that big move that fast. I'm going to be honest.
In a while, yeah.
And so, like, he's getting, not only is he using his power, that's coming off the ball so quick.
And he gets skinny in the holes and the double teams. There was one play so fundamentally sound. He was getting double teamed on a run to the right, and he crossed face of 2 linemen and made the tackle. It was something unbelievable. So, yeah, and I agree with him being you. I know that's your boy. I know you. Between him and Trey, I know that's your boy. But he definitely had a good game. I believe Colt McCoy was my MVP. I mean, we kind of agreed on both the MVPs, but we just chose. I believe Colt McCoy is my MVP because he makes me, as a Redskins fan, feel very secure about our quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And that's not something that we can really say, yeah, we got Alex Smith, and he's the future, and he's really proven quarterback and things like that. But unfortunately, things happen. We're knocking on this wood, and nothing's going to happen to him. But if something does, we are straight there. I really believe that Colt McCoy, he's been in this offense, what, 5, 6 years, you know? And I guess I would think maybe even next to Nick Foles, I would think that he's probably the best second-string quarterback in the league. I mean, he's probably got the longest tenure of being a second-string quarterback. I think I might have saw Matt Schaub on the Falcons, though, a while ago. He might still be. But anyways, I believe that he's got the best tenure, and I believe that he really played well. He ran the defense really well. And I mean, 17-0, 7, you know, is what it was. And he really put them the ball and the money on routes that didn't look – he made it look easy. I mean, and that 57-yard pass to Cam Sims once again blew my mind. So, he's got my MVP.
Okay.
So
guys, hey, we're gonna do kind of question and answer. So, call in to this number, 347-850-1120, or you can, guys, just message us on any of our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Just let us know any questions you guys have. So, I wrote down some of them. We got wide receiver prediction. I think the first 3, Dotson, Crowder, Richardson. After that, I see Sims, Mo Harris, and Trey Quinn.
That sounds pretty accurate to me. I don't know who is missing.
There's nobody else, I don't think. I mean, we got some.
Poor Trey Quinn took a shot, though.
Yeah,
man.
He's fine now, though.
Nice.
But if you guys want to call into the radio, we got 347, again, 850-1120. I'm sorry, 347-850-1120.
And then stay tuned. We're still going to do that drawing.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're going to do about 5 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably an accurate prediction.
Okay, so we got also someone had asked, slow down and repeat the number, son. Sorry about that, Mom. 347-850-1120.
1120.
Okay, so Mo got to get a spot. Yes, is Alex Smith going to be top 10 QB? Ooh.
Yes, because
he's going to be number one.
We believe in positivity, but I think what people aren't understanding about why we got Alex Smith in the first place was because he fits what we do. You know, all year you've seen people comparing Alex and Kirk all year. Why?
Wow.
It's because they're similar. You know, they're similar in what they do. They're similar in what Jay wants them to do, and with Jay being the play caller, if I'm not mistaken,
he
loves that play action. He loves that the guy's got smarts, and he loves that he's got a little mobility on his feet. I think it's really a perfect situation.
And he's a leader.
He is a leader, and he's positive, and he wants to be here. That just changes everything.
He
wants to be here. People like him. The whole way that the camp is, interviews are. I mean,
absolutely.
I really think he's going to have a very positive year. I think we'll be in the clear.
So another person asked, which running backs will make the team? So I think so first of all, how many running backs do you think we'll keep? Five.
Four.
You think four?
Four.
Okay.
Saying,
so we got CT.
Mm-hmm.
I say Rob Kelly and P. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say Byron Marshall.
That's what I would think.
Oh! I think five, and I think
with
Martez
Carter. We're going to push for that team, man. He's going to get some burn.
What are you thinking,
man,
about the fight with the Jets? I think it's just temper flaring.
And I think it's beautiful. And let me tell you why.
But also, I think, when has the Jets not fought during a combined practice with any team?
I don't know. I don't really focus on that.
But I'm just saying, like, the Jets are a dirty team flat out.
Are they? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think.
And I think with that Terrell thing, it kind of spiced things up.
It did.
And it was a dirty hit. So if you guys don't know, I'll kind of fill you in. I didn't love it for the fact that it caused – I loved it, but at the same time, I don't want anyone getting injured. That's for that reason.
Yeah.
But it happened because Jamal Adams pushed Morgan Moses after the play. He went down grabbing his knee. Thank God he's back up and he's good to go. You know what I'm saying?
I guess that's a good point from a GM perspective.
Right.
Exactly. If somebody would have got hurt from practice fighting,
right,
then we would have had some issues, right?
Right.
So
at the end of the day – I like it for team team stuff, but at the end of the day, that's what Super Bowl teams are meant. I'm talking about from a GM standpoint.
I completely agree with you. Who is that? I agree with you. I'm sorry I couldn't catch your name, but I completely.
But Morgan Moses went down, and that's when Trent went nuts. Trent took out three or four people with one swing.
Yeah.
And then apparently Ty Nsekhe and Brandon Sheriff body slammed somebody.
Right. You like to see your leaders. They're leaders.
Yeah.
You like
to
see your leaders leading.
Yeah.
And if we're going to fight.
And you know Trent's a fighter.
Yeah.
Trent already tried to knock out
Richard Sherman. Sherman behind. Smacked him. Yeah, man. That's my man. I got his jersey on my signed jersey today.
There you go.
So, man. I think it's okay that was a little bit of a scrap. And no one got hurt. And I think it just sends a message to the league that we're not taking nobody's scrap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what real good teams are made of. They're not taking those crap from nobody.
Yeah.
So, man, any other questions? I guess we didn't. I'm not sure if it's back.
Would you want Dez Bryant on the skin?
No. Oh! Beat 11
other
people
at one time, but no one got hurt. Yeah, I know. Well, Morgan Moses initially got hurt, but he's fine. But yes, he did get hurt. Knock on wood. Do we think Dez Bryant should be on the team? At this point, no. I think at the beginning we were Dez Bryant fanatics.
Yeah, because
Dez to DC. Chris Bryant wants him so
really?
Bad.
That's wild. I mean, I respect Chris's opinion. I wish Chris would call us and tell us why. If you want to call us and tell us why, Chris, 347-850-1120.
Which area do you feel is our weakest?
We've only got like 8 minutes left. So which area – you know what's actually – my opinion, and I was actually thinking about that, it's either D – no, I'm sorry. It's either, unfortunately, due to injury, it might be D-line, but I really actually think our weakest area is receiver, actually. And unfortunately, the reason why I say it's receiver is because either receiver – maybe I don't know. Who do you think it is?
I think it's the D-backs.
Weakest?
Because let's think about this. So, no, let's break this down, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry, guys. Yeah.
So let's think about it logically. So you have Josh Norman, solidified star. You have a project corner still, and I hate to say it's a fact, is Dunbar.
That's true.
He's a project.
Project slot and Fabian.
And Fabian, he's another project. But these guys have proven, guys, so don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. These guys are proven. But at the end of the day, still, they're still kind of project. He's still only 2 to 3 years playing corner. Same thing with Fabian. He's only played corner for 2 years. Here's something nobody has talked about more than great camp.
Reed is having a great camp. And then he's like their secret weapon they're holding on to right now. So we'll see. What's the odds we are having, Frank?
One in 50.
I think there might be. We're going to bring somebody in. He said we're going to bring a veteran in.
These prices
too high, and we got people balling out too hard.
Yeah.
You know? The only reason we cut Orlando is because he's hurt.
We don't want to take the risk.
So
they said it's the best he has looked. Oh, yeah, Jordan Reed, absolutely.
Yeah.
He told us it was the best he's ever felt.
You can watch it on that one zone. Yeah.
What do you think about the injury second round pick? I was talking about Darius Geis.
Yeah.
It hurts, but I think it's next man up.
It's next man up. And for whoever said that, the first round pick for the Vikings, Dalvin Cook, towards ACL the same way they went to the NFC Championship. If we went to the NFC Championship this year, I would be very happy.
If we get very like that, Dice back next year, we're going to the Super Bowl. We bought out. If we go to the NFC Championship, we bring it back, bro. You know, I'm saying the next following year, we're going to the Super Bowl.
I hear you. And I just think it's okay.
What I was saying is that Danny Johnson is unproven. Flat out.
But he's
Ray Stroman is unproven. Adonis Alexander is unproven. All these guys are still kind of, you see flashes, but let's see consistency first, and then I'll say that that's not our weakest.
Yes. Samaje is going to be our starter. I believe that he is.
No, I think that, I believe he will. I believe that Robbie Kelly starts off.
I mean, that's what they have projected right now.
I'm not saying that. I want Samaje to start. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to the Super Bowl. Don't take it out. My bad.
My fault.
Y'all already know I'm going to say we're 16-0.
But I think at the end of the day that what about those Khalil Mack trade rumors? They said that odds are going either Oakland right now or Green Bay. I just saw it today.
I would like him to not come.
Yeah.
Here.
We don't need it. It's too much money.
We don't need it.
For what? Talking about an 8-sack season, 2 interceptions. What are you talking about
here? And he ran somebody
over. Oh, my God.
He ran somebody over. He made that left guard from the Jets look stupid. Seriously.
Guys, don't sleep on him. He had a quiet, great year.
And we're deep there, too. Because, I mean, don't forget about Preston Smith, right? I mean, not Preston Smith. Pernell McPhee, who we also talked to, came in very strong, explained that he feels like he's very strong at that position. And he's a legitimate starter, right?
Yeah.
So,
McCoy has playing time.
When? In the season?
No. Unless Alex gets hurt.
Or if we're beating somebody by 40, which will happen a lot for whoever
people
said
sleep
I was
on Preston
checking out.
Straight up.
Yeah, they do sleep on Preston. Colt McCoy will only have playing time if we're up by 40 or 50.
Agreed.
You know, because at that point in time, there's no point in playing. But, it's normally one quarterback, normally.
Right, and what pisses me off about people thinking that P. Ryan has fumbling issues, he has 2 fumbles out of 179 carries. Can somebody please do that, Matt?
Right.
I mean, come on, what are we talking
about
here, bro?
And you're right. You're right about P. Ryan had a younger old one.
Yeah. What do you think about Jay Gruden? He's signed for 5 more years.
Seriously. I mean, he's building something.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And if you keep firing these coaches, you can't build anything.
And let's agree, right, that there were days where we were going 4-12, 3-13.
Yep.
Consistently last 3 years, 9-7, 8-7-1, and what was it, 7-9 maybe. I mean, you're talking about having solid years, especially last year, man. I think last year was such an interesting year because of the fact that he had the second most injury reserve on the league.
Yep.
To the Giants, who went 13-3,
and we went seven and nine with the second to most. Someone asked, "What do we think about tight ends?" And if Jordan Reed, who's calling the offense play. Jay's still calling the offense.
But being a coach.
49-10. I'm saying 49-10.
And that's when Colt McCoy will get his playing time.
Someone asked if Jordan Reed gets injured again, what do we do at tight end? I think we do the same thing we did last year. Jeremy Sprinkle's going to be the backup. Vernon Davis is going
to
be the starter.
And we can probably find a tight end to come in.
I think we cut some tight ends. We cut J.P. Holt, and we got other two. We have two more tight ends.
We got J.P.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And we have two other tight ends also.
We nearly
Robin Big,
played.
Let's
yeah.
talk wrestling style. And we nearly beat every team we play. That's one thing that people don't realize is that we did not ever get blown out except the Cowboys.
Well, we didn't really get – we was playing with them in the beginning.
Yeah, right. And then
I feel like the Chargers out. Game, we kind of got beat pretty bad.
Yeah.
But
Well, you go live after the game. So, guys, so what we're going to do, so people don't know, every Tuesday we're going to go, not after the games, because we got to break some – we got to break tape down.
Yeah.
So we got to get our notes together. And Sprinkle is the next man out. Sorry, guys. And then so every Tuesday we're going to break it down. We're going to break down the previous game and what's going to happen next week.
And what we'll do also is we'll let you guys know the week before if we're going to a game, like this week.
Yep.
We will be at the Jets game.
Let us know.
So let us
we
know.
We want to meet up.
We want to meet up, maybe do some little snippets of interviews just to see how everybody's feeling, get a little
yeah. –
tape together, link
yeah.
up, and bond as Redskins fans.
We want to grow with y'all, man.
We got about 4 minutes here, so
yeah, let's do this.
We're
this drawing.
Hat, so just real quick,
we need RG3 back. Okay, bro.
if you were under a rock, we were blessed enough to get some tickets from Chris Davis or
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant, he blessed us with the 4 tickets.
So we have 2 extra.
So we were blessed to get 2 extra tickets. We asked people to – are we going to any away games?
No.
I wouldn't say no.
Maybe.
I wouldn't say no. I mean, maybe we'll go to Baltimore. But I'm for a pizza. But, no, real quick, because we're almost
– Yeah, we're running out of time, guys.
But, yeah,
sorry,
so
guys.
If you're under a rock, we'll let Steve pick it. But if you retweeted us, we were able to get some extra 2 tickets to give away to a LTR person who retweeted us. And
right.
he's picking the name, and the winner is.
All right, Tavon Williams at Tally 382.
T Willie
382.
Yeah, we're gonna message you.
Patrick, you have to message us. How about that?
Oh. Okay.
And if you don't message us, let me get another one.
Okay.
No. It's only fair.
Okay.
I think of my opinion.
Okay.
So if you don't message us, the next person comes up too is HTTR for life at Chucky 40602. So Tavon Williams.
Look, he's the CEO. So whatever
Tavon Williams,
says,
make sure you message us. If you don't, Chucky, they're yours. If not, we'll pick another one and then we'll message you.
Yeah. Okay.
That.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, whatever he says goes.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, man. Any last minute? Yeah, we're going to the Jets one more time. We are going to the Jets game. Real quick, what to look for the Jets game? Is
Trayvon
here?
Okay, guys.
And he did get his. He will be the one getting the 2 tickets to the game.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. We're gonna try to do things like that more often, just because
we get blessed with tickets, guys. Trust me,
we're
gonna
share the love,
giveaways.
Man. Share the love. Man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I think we had a pretty awesome show. Unfortunately,
nobody called as far as we saw. At the end of the day, guys, also, we might be able to – I think we're going to be blessed. There's going to be a military appreciation, and we might be hopefully getting on the field on the Jets game.
Whenever we go to a game, we will go live in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
And, you know, make sure we ain't caught stepping on no feet. But, yeah, we'll definitely go live in some way, shape, or form and be able to share that with you guys.
Okay.
We got about I think we're about –
Yeah, we're about it. So, hey, guys, it's good talking to you. See you at the Jets game. Guys, message us if you're going to be there, all right? I'm Steve.
I'm Chris.
And this is
Let's Talk
Redskins. See you guys.